This Finish Line Radio podcast brought to you by WePaint. Give owner Jamie Goodman a call at 1-912-341-5372. At WePaint, we paint so you don't have to.
Dale's Heating and Air presents Finish Line Radio.
Finish Line Radio.
On ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Your home for NASCAR in the Valley.
It's Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand.
Welcome to the fastest hour in radio, live from the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. It's Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air. Whether you're listening to us on the FM dial or the ESPN 101.3 app, thank you so much for making us a part of your day. On today's show, we'll recap this past week's race at Loudoun, New Hampshire, and hear from your winner, holding that lobster, Ryan Blaney. It's a lot of New Hampshire talk there. To have a camera on the JGR's driver's meeting this week.
Would have been nice.
Would have been good. We'll tell you why. We head to Kansas this weekend. You can run that wall in Kansas from all intents and purposes. You can run everywhere now from what I'm hearing. We'll get you ready for that. Also, the Week 5 playoff standings, the Rick Cart Memorial Fantasy League standings. Well, I'm pretty happy about that because your boy's at the top. And much, much more on today's Finish Line Radio presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. I'm your host, Jamie Kyle, to my radio ride, all things Alabama, Jason Hildebrand, and the man spinning the tunes, spinning opinions. Good little welcome song in there with Metallica. I'm in. And keeping us on the air, that's super producer Scott Webb. Boys, the JGR driver's meeting. At what point, you got to think, they got rid of Kyle Busch for Ty Gibbs. His name one day will be on the building if he don't sell it. And my guy couldn't get out of the way. Or should he have got out of the way?
As a courtesy, yes. But you're also out there racing. I mean, there's a fine line. There's got to be a fine line somewhere. I mean, he's racing for a win just like Hamlin is. The only difference is he's not in the playoffs.
Right. We'll get to it in just a second. But I really, you know, if he's owning the team at this point, he moves out of the way.
You know, it's one of those things, frustration builds up with Hamlin. He has never won a championship.
Yeah.
And I think it got the best of him right there.
That's a solid point. All right, on the heater dud meter for Loudoun, New Hampshire, I'm going to 2.5. I'm adding points on there.
I'm going to 4. I didn't find it interesting hardly at all.
Me and Jason talked a little bit about this off the air, but for a flat track, thought it was an okay race. It's a flat track. You just don't.
So you're more in not liking the track.
Yeah, I just don't know that it produces great racing. I mean, you want to go there, fine. Do we need to be going there during the playoffs? No. But the race was fine. I thought there was some intrigue in the race, and it got interesting late because I did not think Blaney, he did not have the best car late in that race, but he had enough car left to win the race. But outside of that, it was, you know, pretty ho-hum for me.
You know, I think if Barry doesn't get loose there, you know, he had the car that could have won that race without
a doubt. Him for a second though, Jason, because we've joked about it. I mean, you've sent it on text. I mean, yeah. He finished last the last three races we've had.
It would have been.
I don't think it would ever happen if he had finished last again.
It would have been ridiculous for him to go finishing last 3 weeks in a row to winning a race in the playoffs and keeping his, and I'll use air quotes here, quote unquote teammate out of a win.
Here's my question. How can you go from bad, being really bad? I mean, some of it's luck, right? But then to being second place, probably the fastest car. And, I mean, who knows? If you're Joey Logano and you're in that 21 car, you move the 12 car out of the way and no qualms.
Well, it's kind of like the crummy Pirates last night, you know, beat the Cincinnati Reds who were fighting for a wild card spot.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you just never know how this stuff's going to unfold.
And I think there's that show, Josh Berry, where his talent is. It's one on a flat track, short track kind of deal. To where he's got to hold it together makes him really good.
You know, the announcers during the race the other day were talking about just the three dead last finishes. You know, they weren't his fault.
Yeah.
I mean, there were other things that happened during those races.
Darlington may have been.
Yeah, Darlington could have been. But the other two, really, I mean, it just happened. And it's just a bad, you just chalk it up as bad luck.
I mean, it was just bad luck. He, you know, his brakes catch on fire at Bristol, was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Ran out of talent at Darlington.
Well, yeah, the Darlington was just you're trying to do something on cold tires that probably didn't need to do, didn't need to try. You just need to survive that first turn, get a little heat in the tires. But I don't, you know, what happened at Bristol, I mean, that could happen to anybody. So, but you know what they did? They went out and they're out, you know, I've heard it's been a long time since the Wood Brothers won two races in a year. And they had an opportunity to win their second race. And that means something to those guys in that organization. So they've shown that they can be racy. And I just want to mention it before we even get too deep into it. You notice how we're kind of getting deep into the playoffs and all of a sudden the Penske cars come alive?
Except for one. The two car is yet to be seen anywhere close to the front.
Well, I mean, but none of us. I think we've probably reached the end of where we thought the two car would be relative. I thought the big boys showed up and said, you know what? The playoffs have officially started because all we had to do was just not get in trouble the first round and we were going to advance. Now it's time to start racing, yeah. And they turned it up a notch. It'd be interesting to see what happens. But my guess is this Sunday in Kansas, the 22 car is going to be up near the front because it's time to go, and they just seem to find another gear that no other organization can find.
Yeah, and it's I think did Joey have a win? Joey had a win the last three races he won, so that got him through in the playoffs. So yeah, I'd say, and he runs well at Kansas, so could be a big thing there. So two out of four have been running well. I think, you know, the two cars got, and he's 10th in points, so he's kind of on the bubble. One other driver that's on the bubble that kind of had a good bounce back and need it was Chase Elliott. Looked really racy, I guess, on Sunday.
Where'd don't they know start if it was the 30th?
Yeah, and wound up, I think, with the top 10. And so, you know, he's 7th in the points right now, and it's one of those where that almost had to happen.
A little life from Larson this week as well. So,
well, and you take the whole, well, throw the 24
and that maybe that could be my topic of conversation today is the playoffs really start, to me, they start after this round.
Right.
I mean, those guys that have accumulated enough playoff points that they're going more than likely, unless something crazy like happens to Josh Berry, those guys are going to advance into the now. We have the 12 guys, and there's probably what, 9 or 10 of these guys we feel like can win the championship. I mean, go down the list. Yeah. Those are all, I mean, there's some names on that list that we think probably won't be there, but their car and the way they perform this year is capable of winning. I think the playoffs started in New Hampshire this week, and now it's going to be about who can really continue to build momentum. Now it's about winning 1 of 3 and making sure you're alive for the next one, because it's going to be harder to point your way through because there's so many good, there's 8, 9, 10 good cars every week.
So let's jump down to the 23-11. I mean, Bubba Wallace, we had talked about him, Jason's favorite driver, about having a pretty good first half of the, or first third of the chase, and kind of out. I mean, he's sitting in 12th now, along with his teammate Tyler Reddick, who's in 11th. If those two guys have a bad Kansas, you're going into the Roval where they're not good, and with it probably getting put out. So talk about them for a second, where that goes, and do you think maybe that the struggles or the media attention all around the lawsuit is getting to that organization, not leadership-wise, but in the garage and at the shop?
To me, I really don't think that's take. I mean, you just really don't know. I don't think it is, but that's just an outsider looking in. With Reddick, it's really not a surprise that he's kind of struggling. I think he's been struggling all year.
Yeah.
You know, not as of late. I mean, you guys got 0 wins. Bubba's got 1 win, and he's looked good, racy all year long. I don't know what's happened to him now. But Reddick, it's no surprise to me because he came limping into the playoffs, and it's just like one of those teams that are good enough to make the playoffs, but they have no shot at winning the Super Bowl.
And out of that stable, Reddick has been kind of the stalwart, right? I mean, up until, I guess, the last six months.
The most consistent.
Yeah. I don't think we're saying anything outlandish there, but Bubba has been the better car of the last 2 months, for sure. So to see them, You know, at you know, they struggled a little bit last week at Bristol, and a track that Bubba is traditionally pretty good at, and then to follow it up with a not too distant, not too, you know, electric performance in New Hampshire this week puts a lot of pressure on them. That's, you know, these mile and a half tracks they've had some success at, and those Toyotas in general have had some success at. So it's going to be an important race for them to give themselves an opportunity, because yes, they both do struggle on the lone road course, and I'll use road course in air quotes there, because the Roval, I don't know if it's pure road course, but it's
the makeshift road
course. Right. Yeah. But that's going to be harder for them to – they're going to look at this week as, if we're going to go out and try to win a race in these three races, this is the one we need to go win.
Ross Chastain's another one on the bubble and had a pretty good run on Sunday. I think the thing that I look at is, like you mentioned, nine drivers. Ross is nine. I don't know that – I feel like in a way, and I bet you guys won't agree with this, but you could probably flip-flop Briscoe and Chastain as to who gets in. It wouldn't surprise you if Briscoe was in, or it wouldn't surprise you if Chastain got in. I don't feel like Chastain has been running well. To Scott's point, we're getting to a mile and a half. The Toyotas have been there, which puts Briscoe in a bit good situation. Jason, it just doesn't seem like Ross Chastain has been the Ross Chastain of late, or I guess of last year and the year before last. He's been somewhat more consistent, and you haven't heard about him, and maybe that's because he hadn't been wrecking people, but he's setting in ninth place with 7 playoff points and 1 win, and is going to have to pull something off where he's not a good road course racer either, and we all know the Toyotas are bad fast at the mile and a half.
Yeah, but regardless, you know, if you're looking at driver averages in Kansas, he sits right now as far as we're in the last 7 races. He's 7th in average finish at Kansas. So a good track for him to get right.
Yeah. And what was – I wonder what – when did we change over to the new car? Not 2 years ago?
Three, I want to say.
I think it's been 3 years.
I wonder if his average has been that
the last 3 years. Yeah, but they only run there –
we've run there – He's run there seven times.
7 times.
Yeah.
And he's got the 7th best average
finish. So he couldn't be too bad with a new car, I guess.
Yeah, 7th best. He's got 1 victory, two top fives.
When we start using the stats on this show?
our crack research staff has been tearing it up. So
I didn't know what was going on here.
It's not helping my fantasy points, Stan. So, throw it out the window.
Well, do we ever look at – I don't ever look at stats for that. So, all right, let's jump on Hamlin and Gibbs again real quick. So, I think, Jason, to your point – Denny Hamlin is pushing, and so when you're pushing, and you could tell by the way he was talking on the radio, I sent you guys a text or whatever, Joe Gibbs saying he lets the drivers work it out and stuff like that. I don't know that that's the case. Gibbs pulled
that's the public statement.
Correct. You see Gibbs when he did his interview or whatever, he's like, hey, we had a bad day. We're looking forward to next week.
Is that like Marshawn Lynch?
That's exactly
what
it
was. I'm just here not to get fined.
Yep. And Kyle Busch, so when he did that a couple of years ago. But I think, you know, to me, at this point in time, he almost took out Bell in that process. And if that would have happened, then it becomes a bigger deal. But the teammate thing, when you've got a really good chance, I mean, where's Hamlin setting? 5th. You got Bell setting 4th. And then you look down at Briscoe in 8th. You got 3 shots here to get in the championship. To me, and I'll take this opinion, Gibbs needs to move out of the way because he's out of the playoffs, and he needs to let the guys go by or do what he can to help.
I agree that Gibbs should move out of the way just because, I mean, it's just being a good teammate. But on the other hand,
yeah,
he's getting a paycheck too.
I'm gonna take the other hand of that argument.
And you know, I definitely see both sides of this equation.
You're probably with me. If it's 5 laps to go,
no, I mean,
go with it.
I mean, I'm still to the point where I mean, it's gloves are off. It's every man for himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. If the roles are reversed, is Denny getting out of the way?
No.
No, he's not getting out of the way. So you can't play it both ways. And Hamlin does this stuff all the time. He talks out of both sides of his mouth all the time. And his actions on the track are out of both sides of his mouth. So when it's convenient, oh man, I wish he would get out of the way. When it's not as convenient or it's gonna impact something to him, he tends to to lean the other way. So,
or he said Chase Elliott right hooked him, but then he said he didn't wreck him on purpose on Sunday.
Yeah, no, it didn't happen on purpose. It certainly looked like, hey, I'm a little faster. I need you to get out of the way. I'm going to help you get out of the way.
I really think it's just internal pressure.
Yeah.
Denny just feeling really nervous. I mean, this is a good chance and a great opportunity for him to advance on and get that elusive championship.
And it's coming down to it to where he doesn't think, well, I've got five more, six more opportunities. He signed a year extension. He's got one more, and as far as we know, and then can kind of go
from
there.
But you know, I mean, you run an awful big risk when you bump somebody out of the way, not just your teammate and not just the car owner's grandson out of the way. You run a real good risk of something happening to your car when all this goes on.
That's my thing you don't want, right?
What
if
he comes down on him?
Yeah.
What if he, you know, goes up to the wall and comes right back down?
What if that 54 car gets a little wider the next couple weeks?
Yeah. When Denny needs it not to.
When it needs it not to.
Yeah, that's the thing I worry about. And I don't think that would happen as much. That would be a team order there. You better not wreck him. But I could see at, you know, Daytona, or say another mile and a half next year, first of next year, Denny goes for a ride. If he were to get him back, I can't imagine Joe Gibbs saying, all right, Ty, you can go out there and you can get all the you know, payback you want when Denny has the opportunity to win the championship.
I'm paying for equipment. You better not touch each other.
Right. But if Denny gets out of the playoffs before and he's not in the Final Four, you could bet Phoenix will be, or is it Homestead? No, Phoenix this year will be a wrecking point.
We'll see.
I think they just need to squash
I just remember that. I remember a couple years ago, hot-headed Ty Gibbs that would wreck him.
Yeah.
So I'm not. Well, let's see how this all plays out over the next couple weeks. I don't think we've heard the last of this drama.
He did tell him he was number one when he passed. So pulled the old Chase Elliott one. They just used the wrong finger. That's the whole thing. All right, it's time for the Shock Finish of the Week.
Shock Finisher of the Week, brought to you by Caldwell Paving and Grading.
Two generations of Caldwell Paving and Grading, they can take care of all your asphalt needs. They can even pave interstates too. Give them a call, 423-336-3841 for a free quote today. Listen, I'm staying with what I've had the last 3 weeks. Josh Berry in the 21 comes back with a second place finish.
No argument from me there.
I'll take Chase Elliott. I thought that I was impressed. You know, as much struggle is probably not the right word. They've been pretty consistent, but kind of not a great start to the playoffs. And then for them to go out there, kind of backs against a wall, not a good qualifying effort, and then to go out there and perform the way they did, you know, at a flat track where there's not a lot of passing, and they talked about it a lot on the broadcast. He passed a lot of cars, so. I'll take Chase Elliott.
12 car passed a lot of cars too, with some pit strategy that went kind of bad a couple times, got him back in the pack, but he went and caught him. Ryan Blaney, YRB young Ryan Blaney gets the win. This Victory Lane interview is brought to you by Quick Check Convenience Mart. This is my neighborhood gas station. At Quick Check, you'll find a great selection of food and drinks, plus midnight oil gasoline for your car. They have 100% gasoline for your lawn equipment. They're located at 5693 Mouse Creek Road here in Cleveland. Stop by and fill up today.
Yeah, just massive props to all of, you know, Team Penske, Wood Brothers. We did a great job leading up to this race and preparing, and through the weekend practice, qualifying in the race, our cars are really fast. And as a whole company, that's something they should really be proud of. I'm just in the fortunate situation I get to drive a fast race car, you know. But it speaks volumes of the hard work that they've done. And I think for us to run one first, Josh run second, I was Joey third or fourth, top five stage win, like, that's a great day. And just huge props to them, and couldn't be prouder of them. And it was nice that we were able to capitalize on having such fast cars.
And they do have fast car. Ryan Blaney seems to be a can go fast no matter where he goes, so definitely in the mix for that second championship. All right, anything that you see on social media that looks halfway decent and somewhat professional, it's done by WebOb Digital Marketing. They could do the same for your business, whether it's breaking news or any kind of advertisement you have. Go to WebOb.com for more information. All right, news in the world of NASCAR right after this.
Buckle up and hang on. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Pull those straps tight.
It's time for more Finish Line Radio
on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio. Cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Not for long. Turned into Heated by Dale's Heating and Air. You can get that unit checked out to make sure it's going to be good for when it gets cold, as I think yesterday was the first day of fall. Give Dale a call here in Cleveland, 423-509-8787, or do like we do, just call dales.com. All right, time for news in the world of NASCAR. And as always, that's brought to you by Mouse Creek Pharmacy. Is your insurance denying your weight loss drugs? Well, Mouse Creek Pharmacy has weight loss compounds that you can pay cash for in as low as $154. To find out more information, go out and see them at 570 Mouse Creek Road here in Cleveland, or give them a call, 423-790-0443. All right, let's talk about Kyle Busch. Randall Burnett goes to Trackhouse Racing to be the crew chief for Connor Zilich. And let's say this. My intuition is this will be the return of Rodney Childers to NASCAR as a crew chief.
Do you have sources? Or are you just
prediction?
My sources say, because he's been wanting to get back in it. He was able to kind of reel in a Kevin Harvick, who is somewhat similar to emotionally Kyle Busch. And so I think he has something to prove. Kevin Harvick had an interesting comment this past week about how him and Kyle Busch didn't always get along, but at this point in their life, they have become pretty good friends, and he doesn't want to see Kyle Busch go out like this. And I think that, to me, is...
Go out like stinking, like he's been doing the last few weeks?
Correct.
He got lapped at Bristol. Yeah. He got lapped again this past week. I mean, even Austin Dillon's outrunning him right now.
Yeah. And that's the thing for me, Jason.
The problem is when he was released from Joe Gibbs Racing.
Was he released, or did he just not renew? They just not renew his contract.
Anyway, they parted ways. I didn't think RCR is good for Kyle Busch.
Didn't think that was the right move.
But was that
seeing how they had been struggling?
That seemed like it was the only move, though, wasn't it?
At the time, it may have been. And he just picked up where he had to go.
Yeah.
But RCR hasn't been notable since Kevin Harvick got out of the 29.
In the first 10, 12 weeks that he was in that car, you're thinking, oh, man,
yeah,
this guy's going to make some improvements. And it's just ever since they kind of struggled, what has it been, 2 years ago there? Yeah.
After Ricky Stenhouse popped him.
Right, in 23, and it's just been – they've never been able to get off the mat. Now, they had a good run. What was it, last year? They made a run to try to get into the playoffs and had some opportunities and were racing well. But this year, man, just stinker after stinker. And when they didn't make the playoffs, they've just put that thing in neutral, and they're just – to me, it just looks like they're coasting around.
Yeah, it reminded me of the old Darrell Waltrip days when he was out there just
– Richard Petty
struggling days. To stay on lead laps.
Let me give you this. The whole Roush Fenway Keselowski organization is above Kyle Busch in points.
That's bad.
That's really bad.
Yeah.
So I guess my question would be this. I've seen him do some kind of outlandish commercials – what seems to get paid, things I won't mention or whatever. But, is he in it now for the paycheck, or do you still think that same fire burns inside of Kyle Busch to be competitive?
He's got to pay for Brexton's ride out there and stuff too. I mean, he's got a lot to think about there. But Kyle Busch is not out of talent. There's no way that Kyle Busch is out of talent. I just don't think he has the equipment with RCR to do what he has done in the past. We saw it do it at Hendrick. He had really good glimpses of becoming a great driver when he was with Hendrick driving the 5 car.
He's just too immature at the time.
That's right. Yeah. And then Hendrick, even though I was a big Dale Jr. fan,
yeah,
I think it was one of the biggest mistakes ever. As far as if you want races to win, right, not from a marketing standpoint, because that's totally different. But just to go out and win races, you drop Bush bring in Earnhardt, and then Bush goes on to have an illustrious career with JGR.
Yeah.
Now you see it. He's got no help down there in our organization. The three stinks. The eight stinks. So, I don't know.
I mean, even the third car they bring sometimes stinks. I guess at some point, you have to, I mean, like, it's probably time to start talking about Dodge, and does that then become an option for him?
Would he be a good face of a new organization and a new manufacturer?
Because he's not really tied to anything.
We're going to sit here and speculate. To me, that would sound like a good move for him. He could be the face. They could bring in somebody young to kind of be the teammate. His teammate is kind of this is the ground I'm laying it to be for you, you know.
Like a mentorship thing.
Yeah.
But then he gets all of the support, right? Instead of where Richard Childress, I feel like, from Chevrolet.
Yeah, but at this point in his career, is he thinking about trying to win? How long? I mean,
worked out well for Bill Elliott and Dodge going to nine.
Yeah, but those are, I mean, we've seen, like, even when Toyota came into the sport, it took a while for them to kind of get that thing up and running. And how many more years does he want to go? Does he want to kind of spin his wheels for the next few years? I don't know. I don't have an easy answer. Would I think he would be better and better equipment? Yes. Do I think he is still one of the most talented drivers on the planet? Yes. But I don't see the drive and motivation. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. It could be his focus is now more towards getting his son prepared. That could be fully what's happening with him. But I don't see the. I mean, we used to make fun of him all the time on this show because he got more hot after races. I don't see that fire anymore. And it could just be that they're just struggling so much that he just doesn't have the same drive that he used to. And, you know, we all get older. The drive that made us once great may not be there anymore.
And here's another thing to add
sounds
to that,
like one of his
Scott,
commercials.
Is, you know, is it to a point where, you know, we said we used to see him get upset. We used to do all this and that. But, you know, do people really even care anymore? I mean, because he's not a factor in these races. So let's not go interview the eight. He wasn't a factor. You know, so I
20, I don't 20 know. Second in points. Wow.
That's pretty pathetic.
I mean, to Racing News 365, I was just looking at his salary. Supposedly, he gets around $16.9 million annually.
Not bad.
So
hey, listen, I'll race junk for $16.9 million.
I'd hang on,
yeah,
and promote Cheddar's every chance I got. Well, you know, and
go get some of those.
And think about
some
it from
awesome croissants.
Yeah. From Jason and my standpoint, because we're the closest to being 40.
That was uncalled for.
He's 40 years old, so when you think about
much closer to 60,
the amount of things that changed when you hit 40. Denny Hamlin's a little bit of an anomaly because he still seems in peak shape. It doesn't seem like Kyle Busch is the one that's hitting the gym every day. So it could be that he's kind of
one of them's won a championship, one of them has not either. So
sure, yeah. So I don't know. It's just one of those things that is.
It's kind of like a sad situation.
Yeah.
I mean, it really to me it is, and that's what Harvick was talking about. He says I don't like seeing him. We've had our differences. I've hated him at times. You know, I was at the race where he, you know, nailed him on pit road after the race was over. You know, and sent. And no driver in it, and I mean the car goes out.
It's when the 78 Regan Smith won, I think.
Yeah, yeah. But you hate to see a fall from grace like this, and it's been very, very quick fall from grace.
And you know, as competitive as he is, Kurt Busch never got the opportunity to go out like he wanted to. Yeah. If this same trajectory stays true, Kyle Busch won't have that opportunity.
It was
to do
always
that as well.
Fun to go see Kyle race on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah.
That was always fun. Seeing it when Busch was lining up and going to run all three series, you were in for a treat.
Oh, yeah, because he'd go from the back to the front.
Truck series all-time winning driver.
Yep. Yeah. All right, let's jump to our NASCAR Cup point standings. Those are brought to you by Bree Maia with Cry Like Realtors. Whether you're selling your home or buying your dream home, you need a realtor you can trust. Bree is the realtor I trust, and you should too. Give her a call at 1-269-598-6243 today. Scott Webb, take it away.
Thanks, Jamie. It's now time for your NASCAR Cup Series point standings after the running of the Mobile 1301 from New Hampshire Motor Speedway. Ryan Blaney is on top of the points. He has a 2-point lead over William Byron, but he Kyle Larson third, Christopher Bell fourth, Denny Hamlin fifth, Joey Logano, Chase Elliott, Chase Briscoe, Ross Chastain, Austin Cindric, your top 10, and the other two drivers still remaining in the playoff from 2311, Tyler Reddick and Bubba Wallace. And that is your NASCAR Cup Series standing.
Brought to you by Bree Maya with Prylock Realtors. Give her a call. It's real estate market's getting kind of weird. She knows about it, and she knows how to handle it. Give her a call, 1-269-598-6243. All right, when we come back, it's time to move on to the next race. That's Kansas right after this.
We got you covered. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland, 101.3.
The green flag is out.
Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air
on ESPN Cleveland, 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb in the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. It's time to move on to the next race. And in life, your next race may be buying a new home or moving an aging family member to their new home. Boundless Moving and Storage can move you to whatever your next race in life is. And cool story, and on Friday, they will have been in business 10 years.
Congratulations.
Created from the ground up here in Cleveland, and now 10 years in. For more information, go to boundlessmoving.com or give them a call, 423-763-1000. I'll tell you what, let's jump into the schedule, Jay, and we'll get that. Then we'll hear from some drivers, and that schedule, as always, is brought to you by Clarity Property Management. They can handle all your rent, maintenance, or finding you some tenant needs. In fact, they're currently looking for a maintenance specialist. If that sounds like something that you'd be interested in locally here, give them a call, 423-458-2600. Give it to us, Hito.
Yeah, we'll just cover the actual races themselves. On Friday at 8 o'clock on FS1, you have the ARCA 100. Saturday at 4 o'clock on the CW.
T-Dub.
The Xfinity race at 4 o'clock. And on Sunday on USA.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. The Cup race. So, you know, it'd be a jam-packed weekend there. I'm disappointed the trucks aren't running, but they got an ARCA racing on Friday
night. 1.2 million viewers at Loudoun. You think it's mostly because of USA?
That's not. No, I think it's Sunday during September. The NFL's on.
Yeah. That goes back to my 3 o'clock thing. All right.
We had this discussion before you got here.
But I don't think they could run it any time.
I don't think it would matter.
You got a 12 to, I mean.
We got to end the season before football starts.
That, or let's run them on Wednesdays, Thursdays. Let's get them prime time there. I know Scott's rolling his eyes. But it worked well for the truck series sometimes on Wednesdays. And that.
And the CW got some good ratings over the summer on Saturday afternoon. It's just that once football starts, listen, I'll be straight up honest. I'll put my hand up. Once football season starts, man, I've either got the race on my phone or on an iPad or someplace else.
Or there's, just keeping up by text.
Or something, because it's hard to keep up with all that because I'm going to watch football.
We wait all year long for football season to come. And when it's here, it's here. Either it be Saturday, whether it be Sunday, some people play Friday, some people play Thursday. And by the time
we got a good Friday night game on this week.
Yeah. And by the time we get to football season, racing has already been going on since February.
Yep.
We're talking 7 months in already, or at least 6 months.
Yeah.
And people are kind of, I don't want to say burned out, but if you're a fan of both the racing and football, something's got to give.
Right.
So.
I can attest to Scott has had two air quotes and a hand raise. I can attest those three things have happened. I know we're on radio. Yep. I have seen.
Not very good for an audio show. But
production, yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. All right. Our partners at MRN interviewed three drivers, one being Christopher Bell, a winner at Bristol. They ask him, what is the key to advancing through the round of the playoff?
The toughest thing is just going to be going out there and doing it and not eliminating yourself. And I think that, you know, all of us, myself, Denny, Chase, we're all, even Bubba and Tyler, like all of the Toyotas, they're going to have speed. We're going to be capable. So just got to, you know, dot your I's and cross your T's and do your job. So I think if it's up to car performance, we'll probably be fine. But, you know, the execution side and finishing the races out, making sure that you make, you know, the right decisions on restarts, the right strategy calls, the, you know, not making mistakes on long green flag runs, stuff like that is going to be the difference maker in the round of 12.
This past week's winner, Ryan Blaney, was asked, is this weekend a bit of a wild card considering how long it's been since the last race at a 1.5 mile track?
First mile and a half we've had in a long time. You know, I can't remember the last mile and a half we've had. I was talking about this earlier, and I could not remember it. You know, we've been to Michigan and Indy and Pocono, but they're different, right? They're bigger and things like that. So you're really going to see, like, did we – what we've learned from Charlotte, have we gotten better? Have we improved? Charlotte and Kansas are very different, but I'm just basing off of track distance. Like, so that's a huge testament, really fast. It's the fastest one by far that we go to in the playoffs, you know, at that time, and big commitment level on the fence. And there always seems to be drama at that race for whatever reason, because I think it's, you know, the first big mile and a half that we go to in the playoffs, and, you know, your commitment level is high up against the fence, and you always see guys make mistakes and mess up. I've been there. That's one we haven't been to in a long time, is mile and a half, and you're really going to see where your stuff has improved since May.
How far has this series come where he's talking about it's been so long since we've been in the mile and a half, where all we used to race in the playoffs was mile and a half?
Well, Jason, don't you remember it? NASCAR listens to us. We said for a long time they need to get rid of some of these mile and a halfs and get us on some other stuff.
There's no doubt about it.
And they've done that. Yeah. Can we
start promoting no flat tracks in the playoffs?
Or no
I mean, Martinsville, I'll give you one.
No mile and a half, so we turn into pseudo road courses. That could be one of those things, too.
The last mile and a half that I can pull up, now I could be wrong, is I've got June 28th at Atlanta. I mean, if you sit and look, I mean, since then,
yeah, Atlanta. Because we don't go to Vegas until.
Atlanta, you got.
It's the third segment.
Yeah. After Atlanta, you had Chicago Street Race, Sonoma, Dover, Indy, Iowa, Watkins Glen, Richmond, Daytona, Darlington, Worldwide Technology Raceway, Bristol, New Hampshire.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That's a long
time. When Jimmy Johnson was winning his championships, that they were like 7 of the 10 races were on mile and a half tracks, and he dominated those.
And well, because Atlanta was like a typical.
Now we're 5 races in before we even into the playoffs, before we even get a mile
and
a half.
But what did he have when we were there? I'm trying to think. Did we didn't take any races away from them, right, from the mile and a half? I mean, we had Kentucky, I guess, at the time. And we had Chicagoland Speedway that was
Chicago,
a mile and a half.
Right, but it was in the playoffs at one point.
I'm just thinking. And then Charlotte, I guess you took one away because we did the Roval. So that's out. So you did the Coca-Cola 600. So I guess it's just front-loaded with Vegas.
Well, you've got Atlanta that was in February.
Yeah.
Coda, Phoenix, Vegas, Homestead, Martinsville, Darlington, Bristol, Talladega, Texas, Kansas, North Wilkesboro, Charlotte.
On one Texas.
Nashville.
So you got 7.
Yeah.
So there's a dramatic decrease in.
And part of that, don't you think part of that was just because guys like us complained because there was too many?
But think about where the cars run well at now.
That's the kicker of this whole thing. The cars run great on mile and a half.
Yeah.
It's pretty good racing. I expect, you know, we've got this particular week, they'll have multiple. I mean, they'll end up on the wall, but. Especially early in runs and on good tires, you'll have the ability to pass low. So there's
this track's kind of got weathered.
Yeah,
we'll hear that in a second.
Yep.
Yeah, from I didn't mean to cut you off. That was
no,
great.
I mean that's fine. I mean it's your show, buddy.
All right. They interviewed Kyle Larson. Kyle said, "How has racing at Kansas?" He's just answering Scott's question. Evolved in recent years.
I don't really think the track's changed a whole bunch. I feel like, you know, very early on when they repaved it, it changed quickly. And then it's kind of slowly, you know, progressed to where it's at now. But it's a great track. You know, it wears the tires out. For the most part, everybody runs the top. But I feel like at the end of the run, you can kind of move around and find some grip and really have to manage your tires at different points of the run. It's probably our best track for next gen racing, just with having options and places to go and how to pass. So we all, I think, in the field, you know, really enjoy Kansas.
I think Denny Hamlin and him had a run in a couple of years ago at Kansas late on the playoffs. One thing about Kyle Larson, if you'd been following this playoff and listening to our show, we didn't mention Kyle Larson a bunch. I mean, he's setting
because they've been bleh,
yeah
kind of eh.
Setting it'd
make another hand gesture, but I'm out of them.
Right. Well, I did hear something. I can't remember where it was from, but said he's done with all of his extracurricular racing and now focused strictly on.
They had a pretty good run this past week.
But you know what's strange is we say that, And dude's sitting third in points.
Because he racked up all those points. And we got to remember, this is a track where they're going to be riding the rim. Who rides the rim better than most?
Yeah.
Him and Reddick. Car.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting for sure. All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, it's time for fantasy. I got to get my fantasy lineup together. We'll talk about it right after this.
The caution is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Fantasy isn't just for football. It's fantasy racing time on Finish Line Radio,
sponsored by Cleveland Aqua Tigers on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb in the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. It's time for fantasy, and as always, get my stuff together. It's brought to you by the Cleveland Aqua Tigers. Did you know they had Let me get it together. Cleveland has a summer and a year-round swim team.
I mean, you've been saying it for 8 months.
That's right. So you think there is. That is a perfect answer, Scott. And they're a perfect sponsor for a show because, well, they race. If your kiddo wants to race or just be involved in a team sport, check out cleveland.swimtopia.com for more information. Jason Hildebrand. Read that first one slow.
The first one slow. Okay. New Hampshire Motor Speedway League standings.
First name.
We're going to start at the bottom. It's Bentley Thomas.
He's horrible.
Blake Bull. The Real Lyle, Untethered Racing, Arnold Tarpley, Scott Webb, Kivo Racing.
Man, scored 221 points. I finished ninth this
week. Hey, can't hang with the big dogs.
RLM Racing, myself, going to ratter your cage number three.
Horrible.
Teddy O, Brandon Gaines, Living Less Turns, and Jamie Kyle.
That's right.
Won this week in New Hampshire.
I like it. We got three standings now, right?
Yeah. So playoff league standings, Teddy O.
Playoffs.
Living Left Turns. Horrible. And we're starting from top down.
You got to remember. Because
you're not on top.
Yeah. The playoff standings, it's the real playoffs, according to Jamie Kyle.
Yeah.
It's the real. That's the real championship.
Well, I'm stinking in that, too. So,
I'm in strike this.
Teddy O's first. Loving Left Turns. Brandon Gaines.
Garth Brooks.
RLM Racing. Jamie Kyle. Kivo Racing. Arnold Tarpley. Going to rattle your cage number three.
It's horrible.
Scott Webb, myself, The Real Lyle, Untethered Racing, Blake Bull, and Bentley Thomas. So overall, Teddy O's still with a commanding lead, followed by RLM Racing, Brandon Gaines, going to ratter your cage number three, myself, Kivo Racing, Arnold Tarpley, Jamie Kyle, Loving Left Turns, Untethered Racing, Scott Webb, Blake Bull, The Real Lyle, and Bentley Thomas.
There, watch it, Scott. Bentley and Boyle might catch you.
Well, man, if I'm going to score 200 and something points and finish ninth, that's a little frustrating.
All right, let's get into Kansas and who we have for Kansas. I got Denny Hamlin, Tyler Reddick, Chase Briscoe, Bubba Wallace, and Eric Jones. Eric Jones runs good at these tracks. Kind of reminds me of Darlington in a way up close to the wall. Christopher Bell in the in my garage. I got Bubba over Briscoe, so one of those is going to have to go. Rhyme all the time. Tyler Reddick over Ross Chastain, Logano over Elliott, and I got Larson over Hamlin. NASCAR says hot pick would be Kyle Larson, Denny Hamlin, avoid Tyler Reddick, avoid Ty Gibbs, better this week, and the sleeper, the number 48 of Alex Bowman. If you got gambling problems, stop. Jason Hildebrand.
I'm going with Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano, Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson in my garage. I'm going William Byron. Matchups, I've got Wallace over Briscoe, Chastain over Reddick, Elliott over Logano, and Larson over Hamlin.
A lot of the same names. I got Joey Logano, Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, Ross Chastain. I don't have enough Toyotas in the field. And Tyler Reddick, that not being a hot pick makes me a little nervous. I got William Byron in the garage. I got Wallace over Briscoe. I got Reddick over Chastain. Logano over Elliott, and Kyle Larson over Denny Hamlin.
Any of the top six, I know y'all love it when I do this. Any of the top six in the playoff standings you could think might have a bad race this week or really kind of needs a good race to keep going?
I think William Byron, just to be honest with you. We've seen him rebound multiple times, still doesn't have a win in this playoffs. So I really think that William Byron needs it.
Well, I think the Hendrick cars in general, that was going to be kind of my focus. They didn't necessarily qualify well, but they raced pretty good last week. Now, there's no correlation between the tracks, but I wonder if it's time for them to step up their game and they're starting to feel that pressure. I know the Penske cars are probably going to come out and be pretty fast this week. It's just what they tend to do. But my eye is going to be focused on what happens at Hendrick this week to see if what I saw last week was real.
I'm going to be looking to see if Denny Hamlin can chill out, relax, and have a good race, and not, to your point, Jason, try to push so hard that he puts himself in trouble. So that's kind of what I'm looking at this week for that. All right, make sure you tune in next week. We'll break down Kansas. We'll get you ready for the Charlotte Rover. For Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand, I'm Jamie Kyle. Thanks for listening to another edition of Finish Line Radio.
Don't forget to follow Finish Line Radio on Twitter at Finish Line Radio. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air
on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.